you know, we've got breweries, we've got wineries, we've got mountain bike trails, but so does everybody else. But what they don't have is they don't have the unique people and the unique stories that come with those people, and you know, why they're here, how they landed here, what they think is special about the community. Those are things that you can't replicate at other destinations. So those are the kind of stories that we try to tell.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Destination Marketing Podcast. I'm your host, Adam Stoker. We've got another great show for you today. We've got Thomas Sally, and he is the director of the Wilkesboro Tourism Authority in North Carolina. And Thomas, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Adam. It's a pleasure.
Yeah, we're excited to have you, and we've got a great conversation today. Before we dive in, though, we've got these icebreaker questions that we like to ask, and I want to get your take. If you could go anywhere in the world, Thomas, where would it be?
Well, I'm a big history nerd, so the one place that I've always wanted to go is Normandy. I just think that it's such a profound location, and just the immense battle that took place there and the struggle that sort of shaped our present environment. I just think that's really cool, and you know, pay respects to the people who fought and died there and who served in that battle.
Yeah, that's a unique answer and one we haven't had on the show yet. And I've got to imagine that that would be a little bit of an eerie place to visit. You know, there's so much pain that happened on that beach, right? It would be kind of a surreal place to visit.
Yeah, I think so too. And I think it's important for us to just be grounded and know who we are and, you know, just be always be respectful of others that came before us and leave the world a better place for those that come after us.
Absolutely. Okay, so I'm already hearing, you know, history is a big part of why you like to travel. If you were to go to Normandy, what other stops would you make along the way?
So there's the trip that I've been looking at was the, and I'm struggling with the author's name now, but the guy who wrote Band of Brothers, and he wrote a book about D-Day. He has a trip that takes you from Normandy Beach all the way to Berlin. And there's guided stops along the way. So you basically retrace the Allied march from the beaches of Normandy all the way to Berlin. And then you can go down to the Wolf's Lair, which was Hitler's in Berchtesgaden, his mountain retreat, and see that too. So I think something like that would be really cool.
So there's a full itinerary out there then that you would kind of follow.
Definitely.
Interesting. Okay, that sounds like it would be a fascinating trip to take. I would imagine that when we ask you what your favorite trip you've ever been on is, that you're going to have history be a part of that answer. Am I right to think that?
Maybe. I'll give you, I think, what was my favorite trip. So I've been to South America, and I did some mission
What part
work.
Of South America?
So I've been to Peru and Ecuador. So when we went to Peru, from a historical standpoint, Machu Picchu was incredible. And just seeing the architecture there, and especially since that time, how the site has been, you know, sort of over-tourism has had a big impact on that site, and they've limited the number of guests. I feel very fortunate to have had that opportunity. But Ecuador was another interesting one where we went to do some work in the jungles of Ecuador. And we had to get flown in there to basically a dirt landing strip. And I remember, of course, being in the rainforest, it rained. We were there for a couple of days. And to get out, we had to actually go and repair the runway so it was safe for the plane to land to get us out of there. So there was kind of this feeling of, you know, we might be stuck here for a while, but thankfully everything worked out.
Oh my goodness. Sounds like quite the trip. You know, I actually spent some time in South America on a church mission as well. And I was in Brazil. So you've been to parts of South America that I haven't been to. I went to Brazil, and maybe we ought to guide each other through the parts we haven't been to yet.
Yeah, I would love to go back. I think it would be fun, especially now that I'm older and have a little bit more understanding about the world. So let's do it.
Yeah, sounds great. Well, Thomas, it's going to be fun to have you on today, and I've got a lot of questions for you, but what I'm really working with destinations on right now is the pandemic hit. We're at 9 months ago now at this point, when the pandemic, almost 10. And as we go into 2021, I think we went through like all the stages of grief, right? Like, this is happening to us. It's so awful. We're never going to recover, right? Like, we had those moments. We had those moments of pain. But now as we go into 2021, I think while normal, it seems like a distant thing, I think we have some sort of a new normal that we've settled into and at least have the ability to do some short-term planning, right? So my question for you is just from a big picture standpoint, how are you taking what you learned in this pandemic in 2020 and using it to improve and help your destination succeed in 2021?
Yeah, that's a great question. And you're absolutely right. I think there was a lot of emotions and, you know, highs and lows associated with this year. So, you know, I'm relatively new. I started this job in August of 2019 and then was just starting to get my sea legs and then everything started to happen. So,
well, you know what, Thomas, before we dive in then, let's get your background. Let's hear about you and how you got into tourism before we get into the meat of what we're talking about
today. Yeah, that's great. So when I went to college, I went to the University of South Carolina, and I really didn't know what I wanted to do when I grew up. And so I took, I majored in public relations because it just seemed like something that was sort of vague and, you know, I could kind of take that in a lot of directions. And then while I was in school, I figured, you know, well, I'm going to be selling something, so it might as well be something fun. And, you know, I didn't like to drink beer in college. It was one of those things that, you know, you go to a college party and there's a keg or whatever. So I started getting into wine. And so we talked earlier about history and geography. Wine was something that, you know, I could really nerd out in. And, you know, the place where it's made and how it's made really has a lot to do with how it tastes. So I thought that was really cool. And I studied abroad in Italy for 6 weeks. I lived in Rome, and, you know, I really learned how wine was part of the lifestyle there and how here in the United States, you know, we have prohibition and just this puritanical view of alcohol, especially in the South. Some of those views still exist. So that was an interesting cultural phenomenon for me. And when I got out of school, I had heard about the North Carolina wine industry, and I at the time, there were maybe 24 wineries. And so I think I emailed every one of them. And I had this desire to go live on the West Coast or whatever, Northwest, Pacific Northwest. And I emailed a few places out there. Anyway, I got hired by Raffaldini Vineyards in North Carolina. And that was what brought me up here. And I worked there for 12 years and managed the tasting room and did the marketing and that sort of thing. So my background has always kind of been in hospitality. Through college and in high school, I waited tables and managed a movie theater. Were just some of my
side. Wow.
Yeah. So, you know, retail, hospitality, those were always part of my toolkit. And I think, you know, I wouldn't trade that experience for anything, because you really get some valuable life skills, you know, waiting tables. I think everybody should have to wait tables or wait on people.
I think especially if you're going to work in hospitality.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah. So, and, you know, at the winery, when people would come in for a wine tasting, you know, you basically had 15 minutes to earn their trust, get to know them, and then hopefully they buy something from you. Hopefully they buy lots from you. So I felt like that was a really valuable skill to pick up. And so anyway, after 12 years, I was looking for a change. I have a small family, so I was looking for something that was going to be a little bit more family friendly, and the opportunity to serve in tourism here in Wilkesboro came up. So the winery that I worked at was only about 20 minutes from Wilkesboro. I knew the person who had this job previously, and she did a wonderful job and basically teed everything up for me. So when I came over here, it was a turnkey operation. And but now there's a few things that, you know, I'd like to do and like to change and move forward, especially after this year. So I think that might sort of blend back into your question.
Yeah, that's great. And sounds like you've got a unique background that led you to where you are today. I'd love to learn about your destination as well. Can you let our audience hear a little bit about Wilkesboro?
Definitely. So Wilkesboro is the county seat of Wilkes County, North Carolina. So we're about an hour, maybe a little over an hour north of Charlotte. And we're right in between Winston-Salem and Boone, North Carolina, or the high country. So a lot of people have heard of Boone and Blowing Rock, that area. It's a small community. So Wilkesboro has maybe 3,600 residents. The entire county is about 68,000 people. It's one of the largest counties in North Carolina. So largely rural. And I say large as in geographically large. So very rural. We have beautiful outdoor destinations, Stone Mountain State Park, W. Kerscott Dam and Reservoir, which is right here in town. Wilkesboro is host to Merlefest, which is probably what we're best known for. It's an annual Roots Plus music festival that takes place in April every year. So music is a big part of who we are. Bluegrass, this is the home of Moonshine and NASCAR. So there's a lot of history here. Daniel Boone traveled through here, the Revolutionary War. Benjamin Cleveland and his brother, Robert Cleveland, lived here. And the Over Mountain Victory Trail, which was the path that took the militia men to Kings Mountain down in Charlotte to fight the British, that passed through here. So there's a lot of history and culture. And when you're in the mountains, you're sort of isolated from other parts of civilization. So things get to incubate. So you have some really unique folk art, music, stories, that sort of thing.
Very cool. Sounds like a unique destination with a lot to offer.
Absolutely. It's a wonderful community, and I couldn't be prouder to represent it.
That's great. Well, thanks for giving us some context so that as we go into your answers about your plans for 2021, that really helps us understand kind of who you are and what you're dealing with as a destination. So let's go back. Let's go back to the stages of grief, right? Like we touched on those. But you know, as you plan for 2021, what from your experience in 2020 is helping you lead out into 2021?
So one big thing that sticks out to me is certainly shortening a timeline. So the timeline for execution. So, you know, whereas in years past, you might take 6, 8, 12 months to develop and implement something, you know, we had to, every day was a different challenge. So I think that working with different stakeholders, different attractions to develop plans and implement ideas, you know, and even if they're not perfectly honed out, I mean, I was a big fan of, in my last job, you know, we try something. If it doesn't work, you try something else. So it doesn't have to be perfect. And I think something that my buddy Nick said at the last podcast was that a lot of times we sit around and wait to make something perfect. And I think he's absolutely right. So, you know, instead of just getting out there and doing something. So I thought that was really important. And that's kind of the, you know, being a small DMO, we have a little bit more flexibility. I'm a one-man band. So I'm very fortunate in that regard, and we have a supportive team here that allows us to be flexible, be creative, and so I think that's going to really be a key component to how we do business in 2021.
Yeah, you mentioned that you and Nick Breedlove are friends. For those that may not have listened to that episode, he's from Asheville, North Carolina, and had a great show, and you're right, his advice of, listen, if you're waiting for every single decision you make or thing you do to be absolutely correct, you're going to be paralyzed. Get out and do something. Take a chance, right? And I think that's great advice. And it sounds like you're doing the same thing. I love what you're saying about timelines are shortened, because I think a lot of us kind of got into the groove of, okay, we've got this idea. Maybe that'll be a great next year initiative. And so let's do some of the groundwork. And now it's like, let's do a next week initiative. that's a completely different paradigm.
Absolutely. And, you know, that's the thing like that we suffer from is I'm the Tourism Development Authority, and I come from the private sector, but my entity is sort of a government entity. So nobody expects us to do anything fast. So I think that, you know, sometimes that sort of stereotype gets cast on us that we maybe are not able to evolve quickly or move in a certain way. And, you know, it's competitive. I mean, there are a lot of mountain destinations here, and I love the folks that are represent other destinations here and across the state. We're a big family, but you know, I mean, there are a lot of people that all have a lot to offer, and you know, we have to, again, be flexible, be unique to kind of come up with these unique solutions.
Yeah. And you mentioned that you're a one man band, and you know, in a lot of cases, I'm sure that could be perceived as like a challenge or a weakness, mm-hmm. but one thing that it allows you to do is when you do have an idea, you know a guy that'll approve it and get it rolled out quickly, right? And that's you. So, I mean, the ability to have that autonomy to when you want something done, you can get it done. There's got to be some value there.
Absolutely, yeah. And the town staff and my board and our tourism partners and attractions are all just amazing to work with. And everybody, you know, everybody has a very similar work environment in that they're a one-person show or a small family farm, or you know, it's a small town, so you know, people get that, and I think that we all have a mutual understanding of what it takes to get business done and to move ahead, and we all kind of thrive off of that.
Yep, that's great. I want to learn more about what you've got planned for 2021, especially we'll tease out the idea that as a one-man show, you probably are operating on a limited budget. Mm-hmm. So I want to talk about what you learned about your budget in 2020 and what you're going to change in 2021. And we'll talk about that when we come back. Today's episode is brought to you by Relic. As many of you know, I own an advertising agency called Relic, and we work specifically with tourism destinations. If there's any of you that are struggling with what to do next, or you've tried agencies that don't specialize in tourism, or if you've been using the local flavor for years and years and you're just looking for something new, I would say give us a call. Give us the opportunity to take a look at your plan, see what you're doing. Use our tourism knowledge and industry specialty to examine everything from your brand to your tactical execution and make recommendations of how to help. We'll do that assessment for free. We'll give you those recommendations for free. And if you like what we say, maybe you can hire us to execute on those plans. So kind of a risk-free opportunity to have us take a holistic look at everything you're doing, provide some recommendations, and you can kind of see us in action. If you're interested in having us do something like that, please send me an email directly at adam@relicagency.com. I would love to set that up with my team. So, Thomas, we talked about that you're a one-man show, and you've got obviously a limited budget if you're a one-person department. So tell me what you learned about your budget in 2020 and what changes you intend to make in 2021 as a result.
Sure, Adam. Well, the first thing when I started here, it was kind of funny that we as a community, so the town of Wilkesboro and Wilkes County and our neighbor city, North Wilkesboro, and some other local partners decided to consciously develop and promote our outdoor economy. So it was kind of funny that this all came up at the end of 2019. And then little do we know, 2020 would be the year of the outdoor economy. but I think that that is certainly one of our strongest assets, and just the plethora of natural resources and amenities that we have that cater to the outdoor environment. I learned that I think the travel market here is more resilient than other areas, and I'm very grateful. So, you know, our numbers did go down. As you mentioned, you know, we do have a small budget. We have a 3% occupancy tax, where a lot of places around have a 6% tax. So that's something that we're hoping to change and hoping to get the county on board with. But Wilkesboro is tourism is not our primary economic driver. So there's a lot of manufacturing here, and there's a lot of other types of industries here that help to kind of balance that wheel. And, you know, when the coronavirus happened, you know, leisure travel largely went away, but we were still getting a lot of business travel because you have these manufacturing facilities that they don't want to shut down unless there's a dire emergency. So when this came up and they were having to limit their production, they were starting to do maintenance on their facilities. And we were seeing these, you know, technicians and maintenance people come into town and stay in our hotels that, you know, their work can't be done remotely. So we were very fortunate for that. And then we saw, of course, the leisure travel sort of boom that came from gyms being closed and people seeking, you know, rural destinations, places that were away from cities and places where they could go hike or spend the night outside or enjoy a glass of wine or beer at a winery or brewery or something. So we definitely saw a lot of that. And other areas like the beach or big cities, you know, that didn't fare as well. Now our highs are not as high, but our lows were not as low. So I was really, you know, pleased with that. And, you know, moving into 2021, we have a lot of content to create. So I'm hoping to put some fresh content out there. Things are rapidly changing here. The downtown is going through a big redevelopment. Our main street is being redone, and we've got brand new sidewalks and, you know, buildings going up, and a lot of things are changing. So that's kind of forcing me to re-up on my content a lot more. And every year screens get bigger. It seems,
you know,
like,
go ahead. I'll let you finish your thought, because I really like one of the things that you said there.
Yeah, sure. That was all. I just was going to say every year screens get bigger and therefore my pictures get smaller. So
yeah, you know, content is a really important thing that I feel like destinations, they don't have like a 5-year plan with content. It's like, okay, let's sit down at the beginning of the year and let's look at what content we need right now. But A lot of times what's not happening is, let's take a step back. Let's evaluate all the content we have. What are our gaps, and how do we build a roadmap to get that all created? So I love that content is a big focus for you in 2021. And that goes for video content. That goes for written content. It goes for itineraries. There's so much content that can be created that will help someone plan their trip. but it's really difficult to tie return on investment to content. But in a time when the pandemic hit and you couldn't do your acquisition marketing, at least for a time, content was actually a great way to spend those resources because you're planning for the future. You're building for the future. It helps your search engine optimization. It helps your, you know, your website, just how interesting it is and engaging it is, right? And so I love the idea of working on content for 2021. What types of content are on your roadmap?
Yeah, that's a great question, Adam. Thank you. So when I got here, you know, we had some really wonderful assets, but I was kind of surprised to see that some of our biggest assets, for example, we have the number one ranked disc golf course in North Carolina. And I didn't really have any pictures or video or anything of that facility at all. So that was certainly on my priority list. Same thing with our downtown. You know, we needed pictures of people shopping, people enjoying themselves. We needed pictures of some of our underutilized outdoor spaces. You know, we have our really popular outdoor destinations, but we have some absolutely fantastic outdoor destinations that hardly anybody visits. So, you know, trying to defer visitors to some of these underutilized facilities and kind of spread things out so that everybody has a better experience. That's another big part of kind of what we have planned. And another example is we have an interesting business here in the community that offers river tubbing. So instead of taking a tube down the river, you get into a giant steel wash tub and it fits 4 to 6 people. And you can try to paddle. It's more like riding a bowling ball down the river, but it's basically a river pontoon.
Thomas, I got to tell you something funny about that. So I had the CEO, or excuse me, I think CMO of Nebraska Tourism on, and his name was John Ricks. And John introduced me to this concept of tubbing down a river as opposed to rafting down a river. And I had never heard of it before. And now this is the second time that this has showed up on my show. It's something that I've got to explore.
Well, we'll have you guys come out. It'll be a great team building exercise.
I like it.
And we'll see who can not spill their moonshine on the way down.
Sounds great.
But you're absolutely right. I mean, that's one of those things that every time I mention it, somebody, you know, everybody's eyes look, they perk up and they want to hear more about it. And we just need to have more of that bread and butter content that really lets people know who we are.
So how do you do it? I mean, one man show, I'm sure you have a lot of talents or you wouldn't be able to be in your job, but nobody is a writer, video editor, audio engineer, like nobody has all the content talents, right? So how do you execute on the needs that you have for 2021?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And I want to emphasize to anybody out there that is maybe in a similar position, you're just starting out or you have a small team. Content is very time intensive. And I've found that, you know, even though I've attempted to do some of those things in the past, you know, maybe my ideas are not necessarily creative or the startup costs to get the appropriate technology are very high, even though it's more affordable now than it has been in the past. But you know, the editing process is it's not glamorous at all. So creating that, I find it best to outsource. And we're very fortunate that we have some wonderful people in our community that have the skill and have the ability to do those types of things. And, you know, we have a local filmmaker that just does a wonderful job and he's worked on major motion pictures, but he lives right here. We have a writer in town who has written for major publications and she basically is an independent contractor now. She's a freelance writer. She's written some blog posts for us. I tell her, you know, kind of what we need. She goes out and does the research, puts the piece together, puts the links in. I add it to our website. Photography is the same way. I take a few pictures. I wouldn't say I'm a photographer, but, you know, we have some wonderful photographers. I think this area breeds creativity. And I don't know if it's the mountains or the rural aspect, but there's just a lot of creative people here. So leaning into that community and forging ties and trying to collaborate and taking the tourism dollars that we receive and then spending that money back in the community is very important to me.
I think that is such a great principle of you can't do it all. Your time is valuable. So let other people do the things that they're great at so that you can complete your responsibilities and you're not spending 6 hours a day editing videos and photos. And, you know, I love that you're leveraging that.
Yeah. And there's just so many people that one of the things that I've found working this job is that there are so many passionate people who are just over the moon about this community. And, you know, we want to leverage and harness those stories and those people's talents and abilities and let them tell the story from their perspective, because it just adds to that sort of community narrative. And that's kind of has been my approach to branding. You know, Wilkesboro is that, you know, we've got breweries, we've got wineries, we've got mountain bike trails, but so does everybody else. But what they don't have is they don't have the unique people and the unique stories that come with those people. And, you know, why they're here, how they landed here, what they think is special about the community. Those are things that you can't replicate at other destinations. So those are the kind of stories that we try to tell.
Great. Great. Tell me what you've had to reevaluate. What did you do in 2020 that you will not be doing in 2021?
So, Adam, I think that some of the things that we had in 2020 that we would not do in 2021 are, you know, I want our content and our ads and things that we put out there to have value for the consumer. There's so much, you know, for example, if there was an ad that we placed in a magazine or in a guide or something, and that guide is only available in the immediate vicinity, my view is that the Tourism Development Authority's job is to bring people to the community. And if they're already here and then they see the ad for our business, you know, then my job's already been done. So I would like to use advertising and content and things to add value for the visitor. I think so much of the internet today is, and this is the sort of the analogy that I use, is unboxing, right? So you go to YouTube, you see all these unboxing videos of the brand new gadget or whatever it is.
Oh yeah, my kids love them.
I love them too. And you know what we're doing here is we're unboxing Wilkesboro. We're throwing out breadcrumbs for people to go and find. They're looking for a place to visit. So our job is to put those breadcrumbs out there, and hopefully they find their way to our website, and then they find their way to a hotel or a B&B or a campground or something, and then it completes the cycle.
Great, great. And so you're able to look at some of the things that you were doing in 2020 that may not fit that philosophy and eliminate those moving into 2021.
So I think that, you know, having a small budget, it's easy decision to say what we will not include. I think the harder decision is to decide of the options that we're presented with, what is the best use of the funds, or what is the best, because usually when we're buying one thing, we're giving up the opportunity to buy something else.
Right. How do you evaluate that?
Well, the best way that we know how is I like to negotiate. So if maybe there's an option that, you know, we're presented with option A, so we say, okay, what about option A, B, you know? And I love, you know, if there's an opportunity to sample. So in, for example, with digital ads, you know, I'm not going to spend my whole, let's say, $100 on a Google ad. You know, I might do a small post here, a small post there, sort of like A/B testing, where, you know, you put a few sort of shotgun blast out there until you find the highest conversion rate, and then that's when you double down on your spending. So that would be kind of an example of how we go about that.
Okay, Thomas. So as you look into 2021, and you are making these plans, you're evaluating, you know, if I'm taking money from one place, I'm going to put some money somewhere else or vice versa. Tell me advice you could give for someone in your chair that may be either a one-person show or a small team as they're going into 2021. What's the biggest piece of advice that you would give them?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think, you know, for me, especially with the content, just looking at how much time I was spending completing a task or what the cost is to acquire those skills or to acquire the equipment to complete that task. That helped me sort of weigh the priority of, and of course our own priorities, what do we need right now and what do we need here and there. Those were sort of the ways that I evaluate how we spend our money. And, you know, I always look for opportunities to collaborate. We're very fortunate to be a part of several DMO organizations where co-ops are offered. I love co-ops. I love calling my neighbors and saying, hey, you guys doing an ad and so-and-so, you know, you want to bundle together and maybe we can do something, a PR trip or something like that, a magazine ad or something. If we can, you know, kind of forge our own co-ops or even with businesses in the community, those are great ways to make our dollars go further.
Awesome. Okay. And then give me like if you boiled 2020, what you learned down into one simple takeaway, what would you say?
Hustle.
Hustle. I like it. Give me a small description of why you say hustle.
So one of my hobbies is like buying and selling on eBay, and I honestly do it like I make a little bit of money, but it's frankly I just get a rush from finding something that somebody, you know, buying it for less and then selling it for more. So, you know, when everything happened in 2020, it was finding those little nuggets in our community and basically forcing me to go out and finding the types of experiences that would really appeal to people during this time or different times. And so putting the puzzle pieces together, I love to connect people with either the places or things or other people that they desire. So, you know, finding those little gems in our community and then bringing those up to the forefront that would encourage people to travel or make them feel safe and comfortable in our community. That's what I'm all about. And it takes some creativity. It takes a lot of effort. You know, I don't think that tourism is, despite working for the government, it's not a 9-to-5 job. So,
right.
You know, I'm always trying to observe and think and kind of plan my next steps. So, you know, just fortunate to have a great team with me and, you know, lots of wonderful people in the tourism industry to look up to and stand beside. And I'm humbled to be in this position and have the opportunity to collaborate and work with many of the fine folks that are out there.
Totally. Well, is there anything, Thomas, that I haven't asked you that you think would benefit our audience?
I don't think so. I would just encourage the audience, if you're looking for a really fun and unique rural escape, check out Wilkesboro. Our website is www.explorewilkesboro.com. Shoot me an email. I'd love to hear from you if you have any questions or concerns about traveling to North Carolina or anywhere in our vicinity. I'd be happy to connect you with the right folks. And you know, just be safe, be responsible, and get out there and have fun.
Awesome. Well, thanks, Thomas. I appreciate you coming on and sharing a little bit about you and your destination and your experience with us today.
Thank you for having me. It's been a real pleasure, and I want to thank you and the whole Relic team for having me.
Thanks a lot. Well, everybody, this has been another great episode of the Destination Marketing Podcast. Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed today's content, please leave us a rating or a review. It really does help us to grow. And other than that, we'll see you next week.